Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many doing good tonight? How many was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord? How many going to mix the word tonight with faith as you listen to the word? Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Tonight we're speaking on the subject of submission, and this is not a popular topic, I know. The subject of submission. Look at somebody and say submission. let me say this about our title. Submission will bring you double for your trouble. Look at somebody and tell them that. That's my title tonight. Submission will bring you double for your trouble. Sometimes when we hear the word submission, we say, oh, well, all the guys can go out and just leave the women in here because this is going to be a women's conversation. You just had the women's meeting. Is that why you're speaking on submission? No. In fact, submission is not only a woman's issue. Submission is a Christian issue. I said, if you're a Christian, the topic of submission is your topic. A man, woman, girl, or boy, submission is the issue for every born-again New Testament believer. If you're going to be successful in this life, if you're going to be successful in doing what God has called you to do, if you're going to be successful in receiving all that the Lord has for you, then you're going to have to yield in this area of submission. Submission. Hupotasso, as they say. This area of submission. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Submission. Submission. It's not a woman's topic. Sometimes people have relegated that to women. But you know, in the Christian home today, everything breathing ought to be submitted to God. I wish I had a bigger amen. I said the head of the home has to be submitted to the Father. To the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Something is wrong with the Christian home if the head of the home isn't submitted. I wish I could get a bigger amen. I wish I could get a manly amen out of that. Sometimes men say, well, that's a topic for women. No, that's a topic for men. Everything, the goldfish ought to be submitted to God. I said, amen. Your cat, your dog ought to be submitted to the Lord. Every husband, if he's a man of God, he ought to be submitted to the Lord. Because after all, who's the head of the home? Christ is the head of the home. Now, God set the man in place positionally from a natural perspective in the marriage to be the head of the home. And that should be recognized. That position should be honored. The man shouldn't have to fight for that. But the overall head in every home ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody in the home ought to be submitted to him. I said, amen. And so when the head of the church gives a message or gives a leading through his daughter who might be a wife, she might be a wife, but the head of the church gives her direction, man, the head of the home ought to be able to recognize it. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. I said, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his daughter, she might be a wife, she might be submitted to her husband, but Christ ought to be able to speak to his daughter, and the head of the home should be able to recognize that's God talking through you. Amen. Amen. It doesn't hinder the man's role as the head of the home. It enhances his role as the head of the home when he could recognize that God's talking through his wife. Wish I had a bigger amen. Yeah, I'm trying to move on here. I'm not getting enough manly amens. When I get some manly amens, I can move on what we're trying to talk about here tonight. I'm just saying submission is a topic for every Christian. So often men turn their ears off. They hear the word submission. They say, oh, good, you better listen. Good, they did the wise. You better listen to this now. Get your popcorn. No. If we're going to be successful in the home or in life or anywhere else, submission is an important topic. And it's an important topic to every Christian. And can I say this? Every Christian needs to be submitted in four key areas. Every Christian should be submitted. Every Christian should be submitted to God-appointed leaders. Our leaders, our governmental leaders have been appointed by God to lead us and guide us. It doesn't make them always right, but the system that's been set up has been God-appointed. And every Christian ought to submit to government leaders and regulations. I know sometimes it's taught government is the enemy. Government is the enemy. It doesn't make it always right. Nobody likes to pay taxes and all that. I get it. We all have to pay taxes and do all of that. But we ought to be submitted to the laws that are govern our state. We ought to be submitted to the laws that govern our nation. We ought to be submitted to the laws that govern our city. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. I said we ought to be submitted to our governmental authorities, to our police officers, the men and women who serve our community. We ought to be submitted to them. So I wish I had a bigger amen. It doesn't mean that every single one of them is always right in every circumstance, and the ones that aren't right or do things wrong should be held strictly accountable. But there are so many thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women who serve in the uniform as police officers who do such a fantastic job and get no thanks for it whatsoever. Brother won't get no amen teaching like this. But the Bible says you and I, as believers, we ought to be submitted to the laws that are set up in our country and in our state and in our city. We should be submitted to them. Amen. And we should be submitted. And we ought to be able to show, and if we're submitted to those laws, we ought to be able to show honor to those leaders who govern. I'm not getting hardly any amens. You know, today we question everything, don't we? And it is good to ask questions. It is good to learn and to grow. You know, I grew up in a generation where you didn't ask questions. You just did what you were told. Anybody come from that generation? You didn't ask no questions. You might have got popped or something. You started asking a bunch of questions. Somebody said, you cut that grass at this height. You just said, yes, Dad, you just cut that grass. He wasn't going to explain, I want it that high because I don't want the sun to burn it out, and we're only watering it a limited amount of time, and there's got a bunch of fertilizer in it, and if you cut it too low, it'll burn it. He didn't explain it all. He just said, hey, you do it somewhere. And so, you know, there's a certain generation, and we were told what to do. We just did that. Amen. But that doesn't always work today because we have generations that have come along today, and they want to know why they're doing stuff. They want to know who's asking about it. They want to know what's the consequences if they don't do it. And oftentimes they got a better way to do it. And sometimes they're right too. But there's room for both those, all of those worlds to coexist together. Amen. I said those who are in leadership positions ought to be more willing to explain the reason why we do things, the benefits and the consequences of doing things or not doing things. Amen. I said, that's just part of good leadership today. But submission is a topic that as a Christian, we can't get away from. In our culture, in our society, people run from submission because we are culturally trained to reject authority, to reject the establishment, to question everything, to believe nothing. And sometimes if we're not careful, that culture that is pervasive out in the world can creep into the church. But submission for the Christian will lead to your blessing in every area. Submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. So we ought to be submitted to God-appointed leaders. We ought to be submitted to our government officials, our leaders, our officials. We ought to be submitted to our God-fearing brothers and sisters in Christ. And of course, we ought to be submitted to God. Every Christian ought to have as a priority submission in those four key areas: our God-appointed leaders, our government officials, our God-fearing brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ought to be submitted finally to God, to the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We must be submitted if we're going to be successful as Christians. Let's go to the Word. Let's talk about some of this from the Word's point of view, because my point tonight is that submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 13. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, New American Standard Version. 1 Peter 2, 13, and I'm going to read 13 through 18. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to one in authority or to governors as set forth by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men. Do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Let me just stop there. You can see the scripture encouraging the New Testament believer to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And that means sometimes, it doesn't mean those institutions are always right. Can I say that? But I believe we ought to still be submitted. You might not agree with every single person that's in office. That's okay, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be submitted. I wish I had a bigger amen. People get flaky on this subject and they think, well, if I don't agree with the person, then I'm not going to submit to anything. Well, how many know? You know, there are cycles in politics or anything like that, and I'm not going to get into that, but I'll just say it shouldn't matter who's in office for us to submit to our leaders and anything that is agreeing to the Word of God. Now, if there's something that disagrees with the Word, then obviously we wouldn't submit to something that doesn't agree with the Word. But we ought to be able to show honor where honor's due. Amen. Submission. Submission will cause you to have double for your trouble. Look with me over at Hebrews. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Let's look there in chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Submission will cause you and I to have double for our trouble. Look at verse 17. We're in Hebrews 13, 17. We're talking about submission tonight. We said submission is a Christian topic. It's not a woman's conversation. It's a Christian topic. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Amen. We ought to be able to obey our leaders. I said amen. So many people today want to be in leadership, but can I tell you this about leadership? So many people want to be a leader. I want to be a leader. I want to be a leader. I'm going to be a leader, 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 leader. Okay. But let me give you this principle. You can't be a good leader until you're first of all learn to be a good follower. Brother won't get no amen teaching like that. You say, I want to be a good leader. I want to be a good leader. Well, you ought to learn how to follow right now, wherever you are. You're never going to be a good leader. You can't follow your leader in the parking lot. You want to be a leader in the church house. You won't follow your usher captain leader. You won't follow your leader in the nursery. Well, I wish I had a bigger amen. There's a woman, God has a worldwide ministry. She said this. She said, I have a worldwide ministry. I employ hundreds of employees. We have all kinds of dozens of departments that comprise the ministry. She said, whenever I go into a meeting, she said, now I'm the head of the whole ministry. She said, whenever I go into a meeting, I look around and I ask myself, who's in charge? And she said, then I immediately bring myself in submission to that person. She said, I'm the head of the ministry, but I bring myself into submission to whoever's leading the meeting. Woo! You said, I sure wish you would get to something I can say amen to. You got some scriptures we can shout about? How long are you going to talk about submission? The scripture says, obey your leaders, submit to them. You know, it's so important. It's so important that we submit to our leaders. Somebody said, well, what if they're not? Listen, it says right here, they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. God will hold our leaders accountable for how they're leading. So they're very concerned about how they lead. Listen, our job is to pray for them, to support them, to do everything we can to make their lives and their leadership easier. It's always such a joy when any of us are from the church family. We you know how we raise money for the Hagans on their birthdays and Christmas and stuff. It's always such a joy. It's one of the few opportunities we get to just bless them abundantly for all the things that they do. And the Bible says that they are worthy of double honor. And so obeying every human institution, if something doesn't line up with the Word of God, that's different. But there are going to be things. I don't have to agree with everything that some elected official does for me to show honor to police officers and government officials. You know, I met the mayor at a meeting. I honored the mayor. I am honored to meet you. I'm glad to talk to you. I might not agree with everything, but when I meet police officers, I show them honor. I wish I had a bigger amen. Sometimes you have to go to a foreign culture. You have to go to a foreign country to really learn things about honor. We've lost such a sense of that in our own country. Yeah. Okay, keep going. Romans 13. I'm glad you asked me to keep going. Romans 13. We're talking about submission tonight. Submission is a Christian topic. Look at Romans 13:1. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. It goes on and on, encouraging you and I to respect and be in subjection to our government authorities. It's so important that we learn that role, that we learn how to be submitted to our godly leaders in the church, to our godly appointed officials in government, to our God-fearing brothers and sisters in Christ. We should know how to be submitted to one another. Amen. Sometimes people say, well, if it's one of the pastors, I'll submit to one of the pastors, but you, I ain't submitting to you. Wait a minute. We ought to learn how to yield to one another. Brotherly love and brotherly kindness starts with being submitted to one another. Amen. The usher says, hey, I'm sorry you can't sit there. How come I can't sit here? Who gonna stop me? Well, you shouldn't be thinking like that. You should say, you know what? Hey, if there's something going on here that I can help and submit to, let me submit to that. Let me be submissive to that. We need to learn how to be submissive to one another. Learn how to be submissive to one another. Look at Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 5:21. We've got to learn how to be submissive to one another. In the book of Ephesians 5:21, it says submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That means, hey, we need to learn how to be submitted to one another, to show preference to one another. When we learn how to submit to each other, what's that mean? Put one another first, listen to each other. When we learn how to submit to one another, man, those are godly principles. That is where the love of Christ can shine through us, learning how to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Man, that is such a powerful concept. It shouldn't matter whether it's the parking lot, shouldn't matter whether it's the nursery, shouldn't matter whether it's an usher, shouldn't matter whether it's a greeter, it shouldn't matter where it is. We ought to learn how to submit to one another. Amen. Learning to submit to one another is such a powerful, important concept. Here in, go back to Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans 12. Verse 10, Romans 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. What's that mean? Submit to one another. We ought to know how to submit to one another. Amen. That means submit to each other's leadership. If someone has a leadership role, someone's been given oversight in some capacity, we should know how to submit to that. And when I say we should know how to submit to it, we should be able to do it without grumbling and complaining. Some people say, well, I'm submitting. Yeah, but all that, that's your attitude, and that's not really submission. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, submission, listen, we haven't submitted to anything till we disagree with it. Amen. And you ought to stop talking about those people down there on your job. We'll get no amen. You ought to stop talking about your employer. You ought to stop speaking negative stuff about your boss and your employer. And listen, if there's something you disagree with, you ought to spend time praying for them. Amen. I've said so often, I had a job one time, thrifty car rental. I was going to school here at Rhema, and I was on the phone taking car rental worldwide reservations, you know, calls come in from all over the world. And man, there was a guy, I've said, so there was a guy there. He didn't like me just because I was going to Rhema. He was living some kind of alternative lifestyle. And I guess he figured out, well, he goes to Rhema, and that kind of convicted him, whatever was going on in his mind and heart. And anyway, he didn't like me because of it. He kept trying to get me fired. But you know, that same year he tried to get me fired, I got promoted 4 times. That's the honest God truth. I got promoted 4 times. And when it was time to come back to Rhema, I was working up in the corporate, the worldwide corporate offices running the national sales office. And when it came time to come back to Rhema and I left there, they asked me not to go and they gave me some stock options and asked me, if you don't go, I'll give you the stock options. And I told them I was going back to Rhema. I thanked them for it, gave them the letter back, told them I couldn't accept it. And then just before I left, they called me back in and they gave me all the stock anyway and said, we just want to give it to you anyway. Bless me with stock options going out the door. Submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. Now, I've said all that so we can go just a certain way. I wanted to set a background so that we can go a certain way. I know you reserved all my amens for this portion of the message. But the portion that I just spoke about is very critically important to your success as a believer. You and I learning how to submit to our God-appointed leaders, learning how to submit to our government officials, learning how to submit to our God-fearing brothers and sisters in Christ, learning how to submit unto God and the Godhead. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So let's go back now in our conversation and let me take this last part of the message and let's talk about submitting to God. Submitting to God. Because this will cause you and I to receive double for our trouble. Go back with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's talk about submission from this perspective. How do you handle when people mistreat you? What do you do when someone doesn't treat you right? How do you handle it when someone is not giving you your just due? What do you do? How do you conduct yourself? What do you do when you feel like you're not being treated right? We're going back to 1 Peter now, chapter 2, verse 19. We're in the New American Standard. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right, and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. I don't know if you read that scripture along with me or not, but there, that is one power-packed scripture. And at the moments in my life where I have felt like, man, I am not being treated right, I have not been treated right, man, I have learned that this scripture, the admonition from this scripture, man, has encouraged me time and time again. I remember when I walked through divorce, and I remember how the Lord encouraged me again and again and again. This finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. See that there? If a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. How do we conduct ourselves? To know what to do when you're not treated right, here's what the first thing you got to do. You've got to submit yourself to God. I said, you got to submit yourself to God. Because, listen, the Lord will lead us and he will guide us in every circumstance, in every situation in life. The Lord will lead us. He will guide you and I, but we got to submit to him. Yes. We've got to submit to his word. We've got to submit to the principles of his word. So often when someone does something and they do something that hurts us or that's unjust or unkind, we are tempted to get the spirit of get back. You understand what I mean by that? Somebody says, I'm going to take my own revenge. I'm going to get you back. You looked at me like that, I'm going to look at you like that. You didn't speak to me when I came into work, I ain't speaking to you when I come into work. You didn't say hello when I came home, I ain't saying hello when I get home neither. And if we're not careful as believers, we allow the world doctrine of revenge to get on the inside of us. And that will keep us from receiving at the highest level that God wants you and I to receive at. And sometimes as believers, sometimes believers are satisfied receiving at the lowest level. God's always trying. Listen, our God is so good. He wants us to receive any way that we can. He wants us, and sometimes, even if it's just a trickle, he'll give us the trickle if that's all we'll let him give us. But like Pastor preached today, God has so, so much more for you and I. And sometimes we hinder the flow of his blessings by trying to take our own revenge. We see somebody we don't like, we won't sit next to them. We see somebody coming, we don't want to speak to them, we'll go the opposite direction. Would love do that? Love wouldn't do that. And so look, keep your finger there. We're coming right back to 1 Peter chapter 2. But go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let me read you verse 14. Submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. Romans chapter 12. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Listen, look at 19. Never, everybody say never. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Oh, my goodness. Never take your own revenge. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. When things go wrong and people don't treat us right, listen, there is a process in place that God has given you and I. Christ has set the example for you and I to follow when we feel like we haven't been treated right. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, Christ left footsteps. He left footprints for you and I to follow in his steps when things go wrong. But so often when things go wrong, we follow in our own steps. We blaze a trail. We blaze a trail in the flesh in our own steps. Instead of following the specifically laid steps of the Lord Jesus. And when things go wrong, they're right in front of you, whether you can see it or not, right in front of you, Christ has blazed a trail of how you should respond with your attitude, with your words, with your actions. So I wish I had a bigger amen here. Back to our text here. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Leaving you a what? Leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Can you see that? Christ has left us an example, and that example is his footsteps, and he wants you and I to follow in those steps when things go wrong. What are those steps? Look at verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. Oh, my goodness. Did you see that? Okay, let me ask you this. Anybody here, you say there have been times in my life where I felt like I was not treated correctly, whether at work or at home or a husband or a wife, whatever. Okay. All right, that's the whole crowd. All right, so listen. So what the Bible is saying here is that you and I, when we feel like we're not being treated right, we have to follow in the footsteps of Christ. We have to walk in his footsteps. Now, what footsteps did he walk in? Well, the scripture says right here that 1 Peter 2, 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. First of all, he watched what came out of his mouth. He didn't walk around just letting complaints come out of his mouth. Wish I had a bigger amen. Lost all my amens. Thank you, sis. I got one amen. That'll tell you something. Jesus did not walk around with complaints coming out of his mouth. Is there anybody here who was treated, and you can say, I've been treated more unjustly than the Lord Jesus Christ? There's not a soul here who could say that. Not a soul could say that. And yet he, what did he do? He closed his mouth except to say the right things to the Father, except to say the right things. And he didn't open his mouth to revile and to utter threats at people. Look at 22 again. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So how did Jesus do it? He kept turning it over to the Father. He said, Father, I trust you. I turn this situation over to you. And on his part, what did he do? He walked in love. He talked in love. He acted in love. And that's the example for every husband. I said, I wish I had one husband. Amen. I said, that's the example for every wife. But when we walk in submission to God, we will receive double for our trouble. All right, let's go. Let's head for home now. Look at 2 Kings. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. God's got a double anointing for you. I said, God's got a double anointing for you. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. The scripture says, Elijah took his mantle, folded it together, and struck the waters, and they were divided here and there so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. That's Elijah and Elisha. And when they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so. And as they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw Elijah no more. And then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah. And he fell, from him and returned and stood by the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the waters, they were divided here and there, and Elisha crossed over. He got a double portion of the anointing. And when you respond in a Christ-like manner, when you're going through a tough time at work, when you're going through a tough time down there on the job, when you respond in a Christ-like manner, let me tell you this, God has got a double anointing for you. I said, God will increase the anointing on your life. When you act in a Christ-like fashion, he's got a double anointing for you. Look with me at Isaiah 61, verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 61, verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 61, verse 7 and 8. God's got a double anointing for you. Listen, God's got a double portion of joy for you. When you and I respond the right way in the midst of adversity, God has a double portion of joy. Isaiah 61, verse 7, instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. And therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. God said, everlasting joy. There's a double portion, the scripture says. God's got a double, he will double up your joy. When we act right, he will double the Christian's joy. I said, we got a lot of sour mouth Christians walking around frowning, sad, mad. But God wants to double your joy. And if you won't take your own revenge, if you'll walk in the footsteps of Christ, if you'll walk in love, oh man, God will double your anointing. God will double your joy. Go with me to Job 42. Job 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. Submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. Submission will cause you to receive double for your trouble. In Job 42, verse 10, the scripture says this, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. You know what that means? He gave him back double of all the devil had stolen from him. Look at verse 12. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. It goes on to talk about their names. Afterwards, look at verse 16. Job lived 140 years, saw his sons and his grandsons, 4 generations. And Job died an old man and full of days. That's the end of his story. We know how the enemy robbed him at the beginning of his story. But God gave him double for all of his trouble. Job's wife told him early on, she said, you ought to curse God and die. She said, you ought to just curse God and die. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. I've got my mind made up. I'm going to serve the Lord. Yeah. And so Job, even in the midst of having comforters who weren't really comforters, they were agitators. Lord forbid to have comforters like the ones that Job had. Those jokers there. But Job, we read there, Job prayed for his friends. The same people who accused him falsely, the same people who said you deserved all that stuff that happened to you, that's your life, what you did something, the same people who really didn't comfort him, in the end, Job prayed for them. And after he prayed for them, God restored everything he had. And what did God do? He gave him twofold what he lost. Amen. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I've learned this in my own life. Treating people well in the midst of adversity will cause you to receive double for your trouble. I remember a time when I walked through adversity in my life. You say, you sure talk about that a lot, just because we want to help people. God did so much for me. God's bought me through, and I'm not ashamed to say the Lord did it. I'm not ashamed to say the Lord bought Bill out, and when he bought me out, he told me I wouldn't smell like smoke, and the Lord did what he said. And I walked through a divorce, but the Lord told me, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. I'm going to bring a woman into your life who will love you the way you ought to be loved and who you will love. And I am going to bless the latter days, and the latter days will be greater than the former. Baby, let me embarrass you for a moment. Just stand up for me. I know she don't. Come on, stand up. Come on and stand up. This is my girl right here. Ah, that's my baby. Woo. Let me tell you. I am a blessed man today. God has given me double for my trouble. I laugh twice as much. I have twice as much happiness in marriage as I ever had. I'm telling you everything. In every area of my life, the Lord, when I married this lady, God has given me double for my trouble. I said, I'm a blessed man. I said, I'm so happy. I'm so full of joy. I said, I walked through a season 7 years. Yeah. But God was faithful to his word. And he told me, I'll treat people right. Follow in the footsteps of Christ. Don't get your own revenge. Don't try to get revenge. Don't get bitter at people. Don't be angry at people who did you wrong. Forgive and walk in love. Be a blessing. And I did that for 7 years. And I remember, oh my goodness, the Lord spoke a word to me. Winter Bible Seminar. And I was on the floor laughing. Halfway under the pew. I'll never forget, Pastor Hagin came over and spoke over. He turned his microphone off. I was halfway between the pew and the floor. He spoke a word. I'm going to bring a special lady into your life. You're going to have so much joy, and your latter days will be better than the former. Turned his mic on and kept going. And when I got settled down enough, I wrote all that down. But I'm living a dream today. And Tony, I want to thank you, baby, because I'm so in love with that girl. We're out of time. God wants to give you double for your trouble. How you and I act and respond during times of adversity is the key. Let's pray together. Father, we've endeavored to share in these moments the importance of how we live and how we act following the footsteps of Christ. Help your people. Heal them every place they hurt. Give them double for their trouble. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need something from the Lord tonight, you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, that's what these prayer warriors are coming down here for. These are no ordinary men. These are no ordinary women. Sister Augusta, Sister Winnie coming down here. These anointed men, I tell you, they got the Spirit of God on them and in them. And so you need prayer for something. You want to be saved, filled with the Spirit. You want somebody to agree with you in prayer. Ladies, come to the ladies. Guys, come to the guys. You won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Well, we thank you for coming out tonight. Just remember, God's trying to give you double for your trouble. Act right when things don't go wrong. Treat people right when things don't go wrong. Walk in love toward your husband, toward your wife, toward those people down there at your job. Walk in love and watch God turn your situation around and watch him give you double for your trouble. Be here Wednesday night, Hour of Power, and then Sunday morning again, School of the Bible Hour, and then A Powerful Word Sunday morning, 10 a.m. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday, Hour of Power. You are dismissed.